And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you and to open God's Word for you. If you have a Bible, can I ask you to look at Luke 21? If you don't have a Bible, let me just read it to you anyway. You're going to put it on the screen, or is it too difficult for you? I doubt if it will be in my version anyway, so that's... They're the words of the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to read from verse 10 down to almost the end of that chapter. Luke 21, it says this: "Then Jesus said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are inside the city depart. Let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh.'" And then in verse 34, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." Aren't they exciting words? When I was thinking about coming to you, I decided I was going to bring you to a couple of verses that appear in Paul's letter to the Romans. And then I was out with a friend on Tuesday. We were driving up to Lincoln and back, and we began to talk about the world we live in. And as I began to think about the world we live in, and we began to talk about things, I thought about you this morning and guessed that some of you, at least some of you, might still be foolish enough to watch the news. And so I wanted to bring you Jesus' view of the news, what our response to that should be. And also, I was aware, because I'd had an email from Jenny to say that this was a common service, and I imagine that was a spell check error, that it was a communion service. So she said, be a little bit shorter. But there's one phrase in the communion service that you'll know. We know that at the communion we break bread to remember the body of our Savior that was broken for us. We know that we share a cup to remember his blood that was poured out that you and I might be washed clean. But when Paul tells the Corinthian church about doing that, he says, we do this, and he never says how often you should do it. He only says, you should do it. And then he says, and we carry on doing that until he comes. And so this morning, two things were in my mind. One, that he's coming again. And the other, the news in the world. And in this incredible chapter, Jesus talks about what's going to happen in the days from the moment he leaves the earth in the ascension to the time when he's coming again. Now, he does that, as so often happens in the scripture, without any time scale on that. I'm one of those people who always wish he told us exactly what the time was. But he never gives us, my friend always says, he never gives us a pre-flight itinerary. He tells us what the end is, but Tyner doesn't tell us how that's going to pan out. But as he goes through this, you'll recognize what he says if you watch the BBC News this week. The first thing he says is, in these days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And he said, all of a sudden a kingdom will rise up and think it can take over another kingdom. And a nation will rise up and think, I want their nation. And they'll just walk in and try and take it over. Now, you couldn't have been more up to date with that without me going any further. I don't need to spell it out, do I? But yet, those things have gone on all the time. He then goes on a little bit further and says, not only will kingdoms rise up without kingdoms, he then says, and there'll be, in those days, there'll be earthquakes and pestilence and famine. If you watch the BBC News this week, you'd have seen that they're talking about the whole of Africa facing famine at the moment. And they're not sure where else it's going to spread because of the problem getting grain out and the problems in the world moving things around, that there's famine all over the place. They're even talking about the fact that you and I might not be able to afford the food anyway. The little word he uses for earthquakes is a word that means the things in the world will be shaken. And there'll be turmoil in them that is unheard of. I was watching, I can't think what, Faisal somebody or other this week, and he was talking about the economic situation and the fact that we may not have any pensions next year. Well, I haven't got much anyway, so whether it's going to go up by the rate of inflation or whether they're going to reduce it down and I'll have even less, who knows? But you look at it and they're saying the whole of our financial world is about to fall apart. And they blame it on one thing. Well, if you were some people, they blame it on the last chancellor. I didn't know I was going to be able to say that until Friday. If you listen to somebody else, he says it's blamed on the death of the Queen. Well, I don't know how it was her fault. I read somebody else who said it was down to what the Americans are doing, and I don't know what they're doing. But they're saying the whole world economy is shaking. And then there's this word pestilence, and I thought, I don't really know what the word pestilence means. So I looked up to see what the word was, because if I've got a question, I need to look it up. So I looked it up, and that little word that Jesus uses that's translated pestilence is, there'll be sudden illnesses that'll cover the globe. I thought we'd finished with COVID at the end of 2020. Just when we got to the end of that, they said monkeypox. You see the monkeypox stuff? Just when monkeypox has disappeared off the news, they're now saying one in every 32 people has got COVID. So all right here this morning, but if you were double the number, one of you would have COVID. You see what I'm saying? on every side there are problems. Yeah. There is. As I drove down, there were signs up saying, I'm entering a dangerous area. And I thought, I didn't know Sandy was dangerous. Although sometimes I wonder when I look at you. Then you go on and the Lord Jesus says, I want to go further than that. He said, I want you to know that in the days that are coming, on every side that you look, you'll find fear and foreboding. I don't know how it was for you through the COVID thing, but I thought the times were tough. And I got through the end of that and thought, well, that's the worst thing I'm likely to endure. And now they tell me my gas and electric is going to go up to... And I've got to choose whether I heat at my home or feed myself. And every day I go to the supermarket and the price of food goes up. And I put the news on. And from beginning to end, there's commentary rather than news, with the single aim, it seems to me, of instilling fear and foreboding. Fear about what might happen. Foreboding about what's coming. And Jesus comes to his disciples and says, understand, that's what's going to happen. Now, I didn't come to Sandy just to say we're living in a sad world that's full of fear and foreboding. Because Jesus says, that's what's going to happen. Now he says, I want to tell you how you and I ought to react as the followers of Jesus in a world of fear and foreboding. He said, the first thing you need to do is stand up straight. Because he said, what will happen is everyone around you will be walking around worrying about things with their faces downcast and wondering how on earth they're going to get through this next week. And you walk through and say, well, I'm standing straight and my eyes are fixed on God. And he said, I'll tell you why. Because all that's happening is God is still in control. Whatever happens in the world, whatever happens in the financial markets, whatever happens with the gas and the electric, whatever happens with famine, actually, I missed one out because he talks about the water rising and then talking about waves and floods and storms. I missed that one out. But there are so many others that you could go through. You could just read the news. He said, when all that's going on, know this. While the world is worried about the circumstance, you can walk tall knowing that your God is still in control. And he's moving things to his time scale and to the day when you will see him face to face. And everything will be secure and sin and sorrow and pain and trouble will be no more. So I'll tell you why you do that. You'll come across people that will say, how on earth are you not worried about things? How can you walk straight and firm? Says your time, your chance to testify. Your chance to tell them that the God who watches over you hasn't let you down up to yet. And he who let me down never till this moment is not about to let me down now. I got time to share a story, all right? Let me tell you. It's not a story. It's about me. I shouldn't really talk about me, but I felt I would do. It's popped into my mind, and if I don't tell it now, I shall wonder what to do. I retired from ministry at the end of November 2019. I got a new house, which I'd paid for. And I moved in on the 1st of December 2019 with £5 in the bank. I'd pay for the house. I'd moved. I had £5 in the bank. And Christmas was coming. And I got 3 kids. One for them. And somebody said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I've never yet run out, because he's been my source." I had a good Christmas. I don't know how, but I've now got a couple of thousand in the bank. I'm on my old age pension. Actually, I'm on a reduced old age pension. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm on a reduced old age pension because I was in the civil service and I was foolish enough to sign out my national insurance things. I contracted out. They told me it would be better for me. No, it wasn't, because when the crash financial came, I lost a whole load of the money I got invested. I finished up and I told a friend of mine what I got each month in pension. He said, "How are you going to live?" And I said, "I don't know, but he knows." I was in a Bible class the other week and somebody said to me, our electric and gas has gone up to £200 a month. How are you going to manage? And I said, "I don't know, because the gas board have told me mine's not going up, because I fixed a deal and I'm on £80 a month for the next year and a half." I said, "Why did you do that?" "I don't know. He put it in my mind to do it." You walk straight with your eyes fixed on God, knowing he's still in control, knowing he's got you this far. He's not about to give up on you. And then towards the end, and it was the last 3 verses that I read that I wanted to bring to you, all right, that's kind of my introduction. In those last 3 verses, he gives us 3 things that he says we as followers of Jesus need to do. Let me read you those 3 verses again, because they're stunning. He says, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness from cares of this life. And that day comes upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake, pray that you might have strength to escape these things that take place and to stand before the Son of Man." He says there are 3 things that you and I have got to do. The first thing is we got to stand up and not be taken over with drunkenness and dissipation. I don't know if you know what the word drunkenness means, and I don't know if you know what the word dissipation means. But actually, Luke uses 2 words there that are medical terms. The word drunkenness, it's not a term that talks about having drunk too much. It's a medical term that talks about having reached the point where you can no longer think properly because your mind is confused. You can no longer walk straight because your mind is confused. If you've ever seen a drunk walking home late at night, it's kind of rather fun, because their minds don't see straight. And Luke says, stand up and think right. Otherwise, the cares of the world will pull you down. The word dissipation is a very similar word. It's a word that doesn't just talk about my mind being kind of befuddled. It talks about reaching the stage where my legs have given way with fear and anxiety. It's what happens when I stand before a congregation. If people say, why do you walk? And it's because that's the only way I can stop my knees shaking. It's a word that talks about not being able to control yourself. He says, stand up and don't let the care of the world bring you to a stage where you don't think right and you get confused and wobbly. God's not leaving you. First thing he says, stand up. Then the second thing he says is, know that the day is coming when Jesus is coming back. Don't often talk about it, do we? I was trying to remember when I last heard somebody in church preach about the second coming. Too often, we think this is all there is. Don't misunderstand me. It's good. But the best is yet to be. And so he says, not only don't let yourself be cast down by what's going on around you, remember that whatever else happens, Jesus is coming back. There's not a question about it. There's not a query about it. There's not a doubt about it. The world looks at it as though things are going to go on and on and on until the climate changes and the world burns up. No. Our days are running to God's plan for the day when Jesus will come. And he says, not only will Jesus come, but when Jesus comes, every eye will see him. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't lose sight of that. Walk at the moment remembering he is your Lord and your King. The third thing he says is, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. He says, pray and stay awake. Now, I don't think he means you and I should never go to sleep. Amen. Because the psalmist says he gives his beloved sleep. I'm glad of that one. Can I get a witness? I enjoy my sleep. What he's saying is, don't walk through life in a dream. Be aware of what's going on. Remember God is still in control. Remember that he's called you to stand firm. Remember that he is sending his son back again to bring all this mess to an end. And in those days, when fear comes, pray to God. When fear begins to drop into your mind, turn your eyes back and ask God to remind you of his care, of his control that brought you safe thus far and has never let one of his children down. And that's all I needed to share with you. Three things. So when you watch the news, if you watch the news, or the commentary on the sorrows and troubles of the world, remember the sovereign God who's working to the day when Jesus is coming again. And remember your communion with him will never cease. One day, now, through the eyes of prayer. One day, before long, through the lips of praise. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to open these words of our Saviour's. And you know that we live in a world full of fear, full of anxiety, full of foreboding about what might come. But we thank you that we are not like the world, And we know that what's coming is good. Because what's coming is our Savior, our Lord and our King. And we thank you that when we see him, we shall be like him. We thank you that at that moment every eye will also see him. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Help each of us that that might be our view now, while we still are able to know you, rather than one day when he comes, when we realize it in fear. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.